The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I just dropped a new music video for my single, I Just Want to Be Like Ice Cube. So you can check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or check it out on my official website, katietrop.net. Either way, it is up there, and either way, check it out. I'd appreciate it. All right, so let's get into things. Let's start off with the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for the week. Not a whole lot of changes this week. It's really just about the same teams, just kind of jumbled around. But I will say, in the Trop 10 this week, it was actually more difficult than usual, just because the majority of the teams, actually all of the teams, pretty much are on winning streaks, and they won all of the series they were involved in throughout the week. So all of the teams in the Trop 10 this week are actually doing really well. And they're all starting to excel at the right time because the playoffs are right around the corner. So let's get started with number one on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings. It remains the same, the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 84-45. I mean, they're just too damn good. That's just all there is to it. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the New York Mets and the San Francisco Giants, and they are just dominating at every position in every way possible. And it's really just like, at this point, we're just waiting to see what happens when the postseason rolls around with the Braves, because they're really just padding their wins. That's about all they're doing, just getting ready for the postseason. Right now, actually, they are leading the league in runs with 746 runs on the season so far. And then Ronald Acuña Jr. is just having a phenomenal season from start to finish. This guy has been the National League MVP, and right now his MVP numbers are looking like he's batting a .330 with 28 home runs and 74 RBI. He's also getting it done on the defensive end as well. He just has made some incredible plays all season long. He just can do it. He's a five-tool player who could just do it in every way, shape, and form. And if this guy doesn't win the National League MVP, I don't know who else is going to win it, because this guy has been the shit all season long. And that says a lot because, you know, Matt Olson's had a great season. Michael Harris has had a great season. And then, of course, Spencer Strider. When you turn to the pitchers, it's like this team is just stacked from top to bottom. And to stand out among all these stars like Acuña has, it just says a lot. Then at number two on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings, the stupid-ass Los Angeles Dodgers keep on winning. This team couldn't be hotter. There's really only one team in the league who's hotter than them, who I will be talking about next. But right now we're talking about the Dodgers, whose record right now is 80-49. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week they took the series against the Cleveland Guardians and the Boston Red Sox. And they're just getting it done with all the veterans. You've got Clayton Kershaw, who's just had an amazing season, 11 wins with a 2.52 ERA and 115 strikeouts. And then, of course, you got Mookie Betts, who's just been on fire the last couple of months, batting a .315 with 35 home runs and 93 RBI. And the Dodgers, they're just getting hot at the right time. They're playing great baseball right now. And they're just another team where you're looking at them like, we'll see what happens come postseason. Because right now, they're looking like a shoe-in to win the division. Then at number three on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 73-57. And this is the hottest team in the league right now. They are currently on an 8-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak in the league at this current point in time. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And this past week, they took the series against the Minnesota Twins and the San Diego Padres. and they are just getting it done. It's just crazy to see how they're getting it done, just because pitching is really stepping it up, but offensively, they are on fire. You got Contreras, who's having a phenomenal season, batting a .278 with 14 home runs, 63 RBI, and then you've got Willy Adames, who's just continuing to have a great season as well with 21 home runs and 61 RBI on the season. And the Brewers are looking in line to take their division. Even if they don't take their division, I still think this team is playoff bound, and that's for sure. But there's still about a month ish left of baseball, so anything can happen. But I kind of feel like the Brewers, they've got it locked in at this point in the season, and I feel like they're going to keep it locked in. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 81-49. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Toronto Blue Jays and the Colorado Rockies. And like I said, this is the most consistent team all season long. I think they've been the only team, besides the Braves, of course. But yet, now I'm trying to rack my brain right now, and I feel like the Braves and the Orioles are the only two teams who have been on the top 10 every single week of the season so far. And the Orioles have just been extremely consistent. They really haven't had a low point at this in the season. And they've beat good teams, they've beat bad teams, they win at home, they win on the road, they dominate in the pitching, they dominate on defense, they just are overall really good. There's just always a new player to highlight, so this week we're going to highlight Ryan Mountcastle. He's just had a great season. Right now he's batting a .276 with 18 home run and 64 RBI on the season. And then Kyle Gibson, this guy has been a journeyman pitcher his entire career, and this year he's probably having the best season of his entire career. Right now he's got 13 wins with a .489 ERA and 135 strikeouts, and he's been probably the most solid, consistent pitcher they've had so far, even though overall this Orioles team is very solid and consistent. And I expect to, it's going to be interesting to see what happens come playoff time. But if they keep playing the way they've played in the regular season, this team ain't going to be nothing to fuck with come playoff time. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is surging, and that is the Seattle Mariners. Overall record of 74-56. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they actually just took the division lead right now. A very slim division lead over the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros, but they now are the division leaders at this current point in time. This past week, they took the series against the Chicago White Sox and then just swept the Kansas City Royals over the weekend. And I mean, even though they're getting it done offensively, this team has a stacked starting pitching lineup. You've got Logan Gilbert, who has just come out of nowhere. He's having a great season with 12 wins and a .366 ERA and 153 strikeouts. And then you have Luis Castillo, who is just having, he's been their most dominant pitcher from the jump. He really hasn't had a slump at all. He's got 11 wins with a .301 ERA and 181 strikeouts. So this Mariners starting pitching core is damn good. It's damn deep. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do come playoff time, if this is just the usual smoke and mirrors from the Mariners, where they have a good, solid regular season and then roll into the playoffs and get kicked out right off the bat. So we'll see what happens with them. But right now, they are one of the hottest teams in the league, and they just took over their division over the weekend with that sweep over the Royals. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is making a comeback. They were slumping. You know, they started off the season really hot, started to slump a little bit, started to come back down to earth just like we thought they would, and now here they are back strong, and that would be the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 69-62. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Texas Rangers and the Cincinnati Reds, and they seem to be back on track. You know, they were slumping there for a good month, and then they've just really gotten back on track. I don't think they're going to win the division. I feel like the Dodgers are on track, and I don't feel like they're going to go on this horrifying losing streak and then the Diamondbacks just go on this great winning streak. I don't feel like that's going to happen, but I do expect to see the Diamondbacks in the postseason with just how they've played. Beginning with Zach Gallen, this guy is probably the front runner for the Cy Young in the National League this year. I can't think of a pitcher who's been more consistent than him right offhand. I mean, there might be You know, Spencer Strider has been great as well. But I kind of feel like if I'm going to vote, I probably would vote for Zach Gallen over Strider. I just think Gallen has been the workhorse, whereas Strider has been obviously the ace for the Braves, but they also have a fantastic, amazing team surrounding him. Whereas Gallen's pretty much been the shining star. While yes, the Diamondbacks have got quite a bit of offense, but Gallen has been that dude, and I feel like he's the front runner for the National League Cy Young, at least right now. He's got 14 wins on the season with a 3.11 ERA and 179 strikeouts. And then offensively, this team's really getting it going as well. You've got Ketel Marte, who's been having a resurgent season right now. He's batting a 274 with 21 home runs and 68 RBI. And this team's just getting it done. So we'll see what they've got. Like I said, I expect them to make the playoffs with a wild card spot. I kind of feel like they're going to be the top wild card team at this point. Who knows, obviously, but there's still plenty of baseball to go in the regular season. But the Diamondbacks, they look pretty strong right now, and they've got a deep starting pitching lineup, and they're just getting a lot of offense from their batting order as well. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Tampa Bay Rays, overall record of 80-52. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat they took the series against the Colorado Rockies and the New York Yankees, and they just continue to keep on winning. Even though they've had this dark cloud hanging over them, you know, with the injuries and then, of course, the shit that's going on with Wander Franco. But they still keep it going. And, you know, even though they lost their ace for the season, Zach Eflin has really, really stepped it up in his absence. And he's got 13 wins on the season with the 3.55 ERA and 147 strikeouts. So Zach Eflin's really stepping it up, and he's become basically the shining star of this starting pitching lineup. I don't know how much longer it's going to last, but the dude's looking really solid right now. And then, of course, you've got Randy Arozarena, who's having an MVP-type season. I think it's going to be difficult for him to beat out Shohei Ohtani, of course, for the American League MVP on the season. But really, Arozarena's been one of the most consistent players from the jump. This guy has been the offensive driving force of this team. He's been the backbone. He's been the heart. He's just been in it. I mean, I was watching the Yankees game yesterday against the Rays, and Arozarena kind of got pissed off at a ball. I can't remember if it hit him or almost hit him, but he got very heated, and there was a couple of times where the benches were cleared, and Arozarena was right in the middle of it, and the entire team had his back, and he's just having a great season, batting a 260 with 20 home runs and 72 RBI, so I kind of feel like the guy would be more of an MVP candidate if Shohei Ohtani wasn't having such an amazing season, but it doesn't matter anyways, because the Rays are definitely in line for the playoffs, whereas the Angels are nowhere to be found. And it doesn't matter if Arozarena wins a stupid MVP. I think he'd rather win a World Series over that. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 72-58. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the San Francisco Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals. And they are really getting it done with their starting pitching. You know, they've had some dudes, but these guys have really been, they started off the season kind of quiet and shaky, but now they're back in full force. And that would be Aaron Nola. Dude's got 12 wins on the season with a 4.30 ERA and 174 strikeouts. And then you got Zach Wheeler. Dude's got 10 wins with a 3.59 ERA and 175 strikeouts. So these guys are just trading back and forth with the strikeouts. And they're really getting it going at the perfect time in the season, because the Phillies are also right in line for one of those wild card spots, because obviously they're not winning their division either. That's going to the Braves. But the Phillies looking like a really solid team right now. And also you got Bryce Harper, who's had a, you know, he started off the season injured, so he was very quiet, but and then he came back from the injury. It was kind of shaky, but now the dude's been really solid the last couple of weeks. So watch out for him to potentially make a big run in the playoffs, because if you'll remember last season when he got it going, that was pretty much the driving force for them to head to the World Series. And nobody was predicting the Philadelphia Phillies to go to the World Series last year. And they did. And a lot of it was because Bryce Harper just went off and just had this phenomenal postseason run. So who knows? We'll see if he's got it in him again. But he's getting hot at the right time. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 69-61, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Detroit Tigers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they are just getting the offensive firepower from Cody Bellinger. Like I said last week, this guy is having a resurgence as a Chicago Cub. I mean, he was pretty much written off. I don't really think anybody was looking at him to be anything but other than like a fill-in type player. But for the Cubs, he's been everything. Dude's batting .321 with 20 home runs, 75 RBI, which leads the team right now in every category. So he's just driving it in. But then you also have Dansby Swanson, their other free agency pickup in the offseason. He's batting .246 with 19 home runs and 65 RBI. So both of these guys are proving that they were well worth the money and the signing in the offseason. And they were also, it was also a good thing because the Cubs were potentially going to, you know, do the fire sale during the trade deadline. And they opted not to because the team started to get it going. And now that they've got it going, they're right in line to potentially win their division or make one of the wild card spots. And they're just looking really solid. They've got solid starting pitching. And they got a lot of young guys. You know, they got Nico Horner is another guy who's just having a great season. So the Cubs right now looking pretty damn good. And looks like it was a very smart move to not only pick up both Bellinger and Swanson in the offseason, but to also not trade anybody at the trade deadline as well. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week is the Houston Astros making a comeback. Their overall record right now is 74-58. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games, so not that great. But they are starting to get it going. They did take the series. They actually split the series against the Red Sox this week, but then took the series against the Detroit Tigers. And, you know, it's crazy with the Astros because it feels like they're just one of those teams who has such a deep, an amazing farm system that they've worked on for so many years. Like, they just keep bringing up these no names and you're like, who the hell is this? And then they come out of nowhere and are just a dominating force. And that guy right now is Chaz McCormick. I didn't know who the fuck this guy was when he came, when he started hitting the home runs out of the park. I'm like, who the hell is Chaz McCormick? And I ended up picking him up in one of my fantasy baseball leagues. And thankfully I did because the guy's been on fire the last like month. He's been a huge driving force for this team. And they didn't really need more offense. As if the Astros needed more standout good players, they got Chaz McCormick who comes up. He's batting a .283 with 19 home runs and 58 RBI on the season. And as a matter of fact, the Astros yesterday alone scored 17 runs in one game against the Detroit Tigers. Justin Verlander pitched an amazing game, so he looks to be back to where he belongs with the Astros. And they seem to be surging at the right time because right now they are right there with the Texas Rangers and the Seattle Mariners for their division. So we'll see what the Astros got, but they're once again getting hot at the right time as well. All right, and college football officially kicks off this week. It actually kicked off this past week, but it's called week zero. So, like, it's just kind of one of those weeks where it's, like, kind of gimmicky, where it's, like, a game that matters, but it's not, like, a major game. For example, Notre Dame played over the weekend. They played, who'd they play, Army or Navy? I can't recall which one they played, but they played one of those two. And they actually played them in Ireland. And it actually wound up being an extremely popular event over in Ireland. One of the biggest sporting events they've ever had in the country, which is just crazy to hear. Just for a game like that, I mean, it's obviously Notre Dame, big name. So they ended up having a huge game over the weekend. So a couple teams did play over the weekend, but this week is when college football officially kicks off, and it's week one. So let's do a little rundown of who are the top 10 teams to start the season off, the preseason AP top 10 rankings. Starting it off with number one, of course, is Georgia. No surprise there. As a matter of fact, the majority of this list is no surprise there. There are two teams who are mentioned in it. And I do expect them to be teams that make some noise. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be national championship contenders, But I do expect them to hang around, and I do expect them to make some noise this season. And when I get to them, that's when I'll talk about it. But for the most part, the top 10 of college football is typical top 10. So like I said, number one is Georgia, duh. Number two is Michigan, duh. Number three is Ohio State, duh. Number four is Alabama, duh. Number five is LSU, duh. And then so we've got number six is USC. And I do feel like USC is one of those teams that I was talking about. I feel like they're going to make some noise. They've got a damn good quarterback who is expected to be one of the Heisman Trophy front runners on the season. He's definitely going to be one of the most sought after quarterbacks in the draft if he declares for the draft next year. But you got to look out for the quarterback at USC. That guy is expected to have a great year. And I really expect USC to actually have to be one of those top teams throughout the season who could potentially at least make the college football playoff. Then at number seven, we have Penn State. And then number eight is Florida State. Number nine is Clemson. Number 10 is Washington, which was kind of shocking, but also not shocking. They are another team that I wouldn't be surprised if they make some noise this season. But my Texas Longhorns are at number 11. That's why I got to talk about it, because this team is a team that I expect to make some noise as well. National championship, I don't have those high expectations yet, but I do expect the Longhorns to be a good team this year, and I expect them to make some noise. Like I said, they might be one of those outside college playoff teams because, of course, you know, the SEC teams always get the favorable votes when it comes to the rankings and all that. But if Texas plays their cards right and if they just keep on winning and, you know, we start the season off against Alabama in week two, so we get tested right off the bat. So we'll see what happens. Quinn Ewers is supposed to be the starting quarterback to start the season. I liked what I saw from him last year. And hopefully he just builds off of that. And hopefully we don't have to see Arch Manning until next season. Now, I'm not going to be upset if Arch Manning happens to have to take over, if Ewers is doing terribly, but Ewers actually looks like he is worth the hype. He actually looked like he, you know, at the beginning of last season, he looked really good. I mean, we were playing, he was playing Alabama like he didn't give a fuck, and we actually were in that game all the way until he got injured. And then it kind of felt like he was just never really able to get into the groove once he came back from that injury. So if he's able to maintain his health this season, I actually do expect the Longhorns to be a pretty decent team. I actually expect them to hover around the top 10 all season long. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to beat a team like Alabama? Then, of course, you know, they play Oklahoma, of course, and so they got to beat them as well. So they got to beat the big name teams. But I do definitely expect them to beat all the lower tiered teams. But like I said, I'm looking at Texas and USC to both be making some noise this season. All right, now moving on to some pro football. Let's get it back into my NFL 2023 season predictions. Today's show is going to focus on the NFC North and AFC North teams. So let's start it off with the NFC North. And the team that I believe is going to win the NFC North this year, because, of course, the North is looking completely different with Aaron Rodgers traded away from the Green Bay Packers. In my opinion, this division is up for grabs, really, for any team. I could see any one of these four teams, and actually I could see three of these teams potentially winning the division. I don't think the Packers are going to be a good team. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. We haven't got to them yet, but I don't think they're going to be a good team. But I feel like the other three, depending on how things play out, any one of them could really take this division. But who do I think is going to take this division? I feel like the Minnesota Vikings are going to take this division. I think they're going to be about the same as they were last year. I think they're going to be a 12-5 team. You know, they did move on from Dalvin Cook in the offseason, and now it's going to be Alex Mattison. He's going to be the starting running back. And he had a lot of promise. Every time he stepped in and stepped up for Dalvin Cook, he's been the dude. So I'm not really surprised that they moved on from Cook, because, you know, Cook was just completely injury prone. He was always in and out of the roster regularly, basically since his career began. So moving on, not really that big of a deal. I think Madison's going to fit right in and just take over right where Dalvin Cook left off. And then, of course, you've got Justin Jefferson, who I just think is going to look even better than he was last year, which says a lot because he had one of the greatest seasons a wide receiver can have. And then I just feel like offensively, the Vikings are solid. Their biggest question, I feel like, is on defense. But I feel like since this division is not really that stacked, I think they're a team that they're very cohesive with each other. I feel like they're just going to build off of what they did last season. And I think they're going to take this division pretty easily. Then at number two, I feel like it's going to feel our finish in second place in the NFC North is the Chicago Bears. I think they're going to go 9-8 on the season. So I think they're going to improve, but not be that great, you know, because they still have a very questionable offensive line. I do like that they added a shit ton of wide receiver weapons for Justin Fields because that's what they have to do. They do need offensive line help. But getting him weapons, I feel like, is just as valuable because I feel like Fields can get away with running around a lot for a couple more seasons until he starts really getting injured. Obviously, you can't always do it, but he's got that weapon of just running around, and so he's great at that. And so with this improved wide receiver core, you've got DJ Moore, you've got Chase Claypool, you've got Mooney, and then, of course, you've got the tight end Cole Kmet. So I just feel like offensively he's got a lot of weapons, and I feel like they will make some noise and get a few good wins. And then, but really, defensively is a huge question mark for the Bears, which is just really odd because historically, the Chicago Bears are known for their defense. I mean, the 1985 Chicago Bears defense is arguably one of the greatest defenses of all time. And they've just always been known for their defense. They've always had some of the most hard-nosed, greatest defenders of all time. But this year, they do not. They don't really have much of a standout player. You know, Eddie Jackson, he's their safety. And he's a ball hawk, and he's really good, but he's also injury-prone. So we'll see what happens. But like I said, I feel like the Bears are going to get some good wins. I think they're going to be a much-improved team, but they still have a ways to go. Then finishing in third place in the NFC North, which is not how most people are predicting this is going to go for them, but I am, and that's the Detroit Lions. I feel like they're going 7-10 this season. I feel like they have way too many expectations placed upon them, and I don't know why the fuck they do. This team is not that good. Yes, they played pretty decent last year, but what did they do? Did they win the Super Bowl? Did they make a playoff run? Did they do anything? No, they fucking didn't. But all of a sudden, this is the team who we get to see opening night. I imagine the Kansas City Chiefs are going to stomp them into the ground 14-10. And they'll be lucky if they get the 10 points, in my opinion. I don't think the Lions are going to be that good. I don't think they did a lot to improve this team. I mean, if you look at them offensively, they are very weak at the wide receiver and the running back position. Now, they did make a lot of improvements on the defensive side of the ball, so I think they're going to be good defensively, but I don't know. There's a lot of questions at offense, and I mean, when you put expectations on a team like the Lions, they're just bound to fail. I feel like the Lions and the Browns, if you ever put any hype on them at the beginning of the season and you feel like, yeah, this team is going places, 9 times out of 10, when it comes to the Lions and the Browns, they ain't going anywhere. And they usually just end up where they usually end up, at the bottom of the league. And that's what I think is going to be. I think it's going to be a typical Detroit Lions season, even though for some reason everybody else is picking them to win the division. Okay. And then rounding out the NFC North, I have the Green Bay Packers finishing the season with a 2-15 record. Yes, I feel like the Green Bay Packers are going to be one of the worst teams in this entire season. And the reason why is because I think Jordan Love sucks. From what I've seen from this dude, there is nothing to brag about. He's a decent quarterback, and people were hyping him up for the preseason. Like, oh my God, he played so great in this preseason game. It's like, dude, it's preseason. Calm your tits, okay? It's just preseason. He didn't do shit. And, I mean, really, if he was that good, the Packers would have moved on from Aaron Rodgers a long-ass time ago, and they did not. So I actually expect the Packers to be one of the worst teams this season and would not be shocked if they end up with the number one pick in the draft this year. So that maybe that's what Packers fans have to look forward to this year. But getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, that's how much I think he mattered to that team. And then also, you know, they got rid of Davante Adams two seasons ago. So you got rid of like two of your biggest players. They did keep Jones, who is an excellent running back, but good luck this season, dude. Good luck. Because you are their shining star. I'm expecting nothing from the Packers this year. Moving on to the AFC North. And the team that I believe is going to win that division is the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're going to finish with a 12-5 record, and I think they're just going to continue to excel and be one of the top teams in the AFC. Would not be surprised to see them in the AFC Championship game. Would not be surprised to see them in the Super Bowl or even win the Super Bowl. I mean, yes, Joe Burrow is injured right now, but he's expected to start the season off as a starting quarterback, so I don't think there's any issues there. I just feel like this team is just back to business. I feel like they got even better in the offseason, and if they maintain their health, I feel like this team is not only going to win their division, but would not be surprised if they won the Super Bowl. Then I feel like the Baltimore Ravens are going to finish in second place in the AFC North with a 10-7 record. Now that Lamar Jackson has officially signed on as one of the top paid quarterbacks in the league, it is now time for him to put up or shut up. It is time for him to step it up. It is time for him to stop getting injured. And it is time for him to win in the postseason. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan. I love that dude. I've loved watching that dude. But now we're at the point in his career where it is. If you need to start winning in the postseason. That this is what happens to every great player. You can start your career off the first like 3 to 5 years. It's cool. You can cruise along. You can have shitty seasons. But then once you hit that like 5 year mark, especially if you are getting if you're one of the top paid guys in the league, we need to see something from you. Don't care who you play for. Don't care who you are. Better step it up, Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I'm sure he knows that. I don't think he's shying away from it, but that's just my thing, is that this dude needs to be the force. He's been injured the last couple of seasons, but he needs to get back to that MVP form. Now, they did pick up OBJ in the offseason, so that's a nice solid weapon for Jackson if OBJ stays healthy, and that's always a big if with him. But when he's on the field, he's a big playmaker, and I think he's going to make a difference for them offensively. They also picked up Melvin Gordon, so I think that just gives them a bit more depth at the running back position, because that's another position where they've had issues where dudes are getting injured right off the bat. So Gordon, while he's an injury-prone guy, I just think gives them more depth and gives them another weapon offensively, because I feel like he's going to be healthier since he's not going to be the number one guy. I believe it's going to still be J.K. Dobbs as the number one running back with the Ravens. So I don't think he's going to have to take the brunt of the blows. So I feel like he's going to come in on, you know, like the short yardage plays, the third down plays. And he might be that dude who makes some big first downs or makes some big touchdowns to make differences in games. But overall, I think the Ravens are going to be the Ravens. I think they're going to be solid defensively, and I think they're going to be overall a good competitive team all season long. Then I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to finish in third place in the AFC North at 9-8. Just in my opinion, yes, defensively, the Steelers are stacked. Offensively, it is questions galore. You don't know. You can't trust one of those dudes with anything. They haven't proven shit. So until they prove something, I don't really believe the Steelers are going to be that good of a team this year. I think they have a lot of growing pains when it comes to the offensive side of things. And then, of course, on defense, they have a lot of excellent players, but they also get injured a lot. So, and part of the reason why is because they're on the field a lot, because their offense is terrible. So we'll see what happens with the Steelers, but I don't expect them to be one of the worst teams in the league, but I don't expect them to be a great team either. I expect them to be middle of the road, get some big wins here and there, get some upsets here and there, but really, they're probably going to miss out on the playoffs. And then rounding out the AFC North, I have the Cleveland Browns. I have them finishing 7-10 on the season. I just don't see anything great about them. I mean, this is going to be Deshaun Watson's first entire year with them, so we'll see how that goes. So far, he really hasn't been impressive since he came back last year, but who knows? Now that he had an entire offseason under his belt and he's, you know, learning the playbook and getting to know all the players on the roster, he might play better, but I don't really have faith that he's going to be back to where he used to be. And just overall, the Browns are the Browns. And until they do something for me to believe in them, I can't believe in them. And I, like I said, I feel like the Bengals and the Ravens are a much better team than them. So I have no expectations for the Browns this year. Just like I don't have any expectations for the Detroit Lions this year. But who knows? They're just predictions and anything can happen because that's why they play the game. But anyways, those are my predictions on the NFC and AFC North teams. And so on Friday's show, I will do the NFC and AFC South teams. And then next Monday, I will be making my playoff and Super Bowl predictions. And then we'll be talking real live football next week. We will be talking real live games. It's almost there. So college football kicks off this weekend, but pro football kicks off next weekend. So it is getting closer to kickoff, and you can smell it. And it smells great. Love this time of year. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.